fait de cette carrière qui se fait une boulotte. Tous mes mères sont ici, and they've gone out. And when the two were here, the Quran, they didn't have a problem with the Quran. They've already signed the register, if I'm not mistaken. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. We are... I thought that one of the group wanted to say something. I'm of the understanding that we have all had the necessary documents in front of us. The draft report, the minutes, the week is then saying we don't, all of which saying we don't have minutes, minutes of the agenda. Can the secretary sort that out for us, please? The agenda was not part of the package that was sent. Can the secretary sort that out? We are only giving you two minutes. Our apologies for that. Can I make a proposal? The secretariat has gone to Maxburg to bring the copy of the agenda, the one that is. Can I first apologize for that? Secondly, say the agenda items are only two, which is the draft report and the minutes of the previous meeting. We promise that won't happen again. And I don't know, the office will take responsibility for the hiccup. Because if we wait, next building is that as I said, so we are likely to wait for 5 to 8 minutes. I'm recommending that to honorable members. That can we continue, and then when it comes we'll continue without it. It's all up to members. It's a humble proposal. Thank you. Silence means yes, we can continue. Honorable Whip, should we?
No, thanks. No, we'll proceed because we do have the agenda. We can just read it for us and then I don't see them proceed. Then we'll accept the copy of the process.
Thank you very much. honorable members. Members will understand that in the last week we had a presentation from the department for 2 days. And in that they said that a draft report that has been formulated and circulated to members. Today is our take to look into the report. That's why it's called a draft report. Whatever will then be the outcome of our deliberations will then be the final report that will adopt the committee. So let me establish if everybody has got a copy of the report. All of us have got it. Okay. I don't know whether there are any apologies. The secretariat will take us through on apologies today if there are any.
Good morning, members and colleagues. I've only received 2 apologies from Dr. Jane and Mr. Emma Sheikh, who's got another commitment. Dr. Jane will only be able to attend after the 15th. He's out of the country.
Honorable. Come again?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to say that Honourable Lingiswa James is on her way. There was a problem with the notification of this meeting, but she will be here shortly.
She is the alternate, am I correct?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
On page 1 of the report, if members want to raise anything in there, whether corrections or whatever. But let me also put across to members that everything in this document is important, but the most important pages are the last pages which are talking to our recommendations, our findings and our recommendations, but we're not going to go straight into them. We'll go page by page in terms of the report. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5,
Madam Chair, just on page 5, under goal 7, to reduce the maternal mortality, it shouldn't be rational, it should be racial.
Thank you. Budget analysis. Page 9. Page 10. 14. Then P14, which is then 0.7, which is then the committee findings. They're being carried over to page 15.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just on page 15, the third last print from the bottom speaks about the question of the accuracy and quality of data. I wonder if we can change that, or for the committee to consider changing that slightly. The main thrust of the question was around quality of data, and maternal mortality ratios was used as an example. So maybe to rephrase it, to say the committee had concerns about the accuracy and quality of the data used for the monitoring and evaluation of the department's targets, apparent discrepancies with regards to maternal mortality ratios was used as an example. Just so that the emphasis becomes on the quality of data and the maternal mortality ratio question as an example.
Members, that is a proposal in terms of the rephrasing of that. Are we all comfortable with that? Okay, we will then request the Honourable Voma to put it on track for the Secretariat to be able to capture it correctly in the way that you put it. Honourable Whip?
No, thanks, sir. I'm on the same page. 15, not sure. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7. Bullet number 7, the issue of outsourcing or tendering for health care services. I don't think it was including pharmaceutical. The pharmaceutical issue arose differently. Issue that was raised around the issue of pharmaceutical was the delivery in terms of direct delivery instead of through the depot process. Yeah. So it's a matter, but it should not be part of the matter in this session. It should be an issue that was identified, the challenge of a pharmaceutical delivery through a paper processes, which then makes it delay the delivery of medicines in various centers where it is supposed to be delivered. So it was not an issue about outsourcing, as far as I could remember. And then secondly, there's a missing one in it. Instead of pharmaceutical, then it should be in it. And then we put pharmaceutical in the context of the challenges of the system, the chain that gets followed towards the process of delivering the service, which it's a matter therefore that has to be relooked and readdressed so that there's a direct delivery of pharmaceutical direct, including a dry dispensary and all related to the suppliers and facilities by suppliers to ensure the turnaround time in a prompt, and also the issue of payment to suppliers. Because if you recall what the minister was saying, I think there's never been a time where there's no medicine, but the problem is the chain that results towards
Thank you. Any more? Anybody, any member wants to?
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. Chair, I think I want to agree with Member Fish Matlabel that we must capture the pharmaceutical issue separately. But also, Chair, I think there was an issue regarding emergency services that was raised in the meeting. I'm not sure whether I must say, if you can remind me, honorable members, if we were talking about the training of paramedics. Yeah, I think it was regarding the training of paramedics, because I'm sure even the department agreed that most of paramedics they've got this basic training. They don't have advanced training. So as the portfolio committee, we are recommending that they must facilitate and ensure that paramedics, they get properly trained. I think that issue must be included with regards to emergency services.
How would you say, if you go to page 16 of recommendation, the issue, the recommendation that you are talking to is located there. I would have thought that you say there was, in terms of the committee, the findings was, yeah, the concern was, yes, the issue of duration of training, which may then affect the quality service. So if you are proposing that it must be in findings, so was, your concern is addressed in terms of what we are recommending as the committee. Am I then correct, honorable members, to say then that Secretariat must add that in findings, so that it's then going to be answered? Because if you go into page 16, the second bullet is talking directly to what she was referring to.
Yes, you're correct.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to add to what my honourable colleague has said now, to say that you're concerned about the quality of training, but that the training shouldn't result in an undue interruption of emergency services. So in other words, it shouldn't take people out of the services so long that it begins to interfere with service provision.
Okay.
If it's also in the process, we can also include the turnaround time of EMS responding when there's a call out, because especially in the rural areas and in the farming community, what is, I'm not sure whether it's existing, especially in the farms.
I don't think they are. Well, I don't want, because we are likely to respond on the basis of what is transpiring in a particular province. I'll make an example. Maybe in the Eastern Cape, this is how they resolve. But I think the Honourable Fish is raising something very important, because I don't think there is really a system in terms of the farm workers. Because the farming community is disadvantaged right across, but also in health. You'll remember that farms are private land, depends on my, as a farmer, on my how do I feel, my ideological orientation and the rest. So I would also also propose that maybe it's going to be important, whether it's our responsibility, or to request the department to really reflect to us what, in terms of the emergency services, what really is the situation around the farming community right across, whether that then is also part of our oversight responsibility. I'm not sure, but I do think for starters, if they are able to give us the audit of what is transpiring in terms of emergency services in as far as farm workers are concerned, maybe also in rural areas, but in rural areas we have an understanding. The infrastructure, the times in the Cape rural areas, there are those challenges of infrastructure, but it's two separate in rural areas and the farming community. So I hope we're not confusing Secretariat, but in the center is there a system in place that is ensuring that those people are then being the services are being rendered to them. And we are still on page 15.
With regards to bullet number 8. Chair, when we're talking about nursing training colleges, I think we must not confine ourselves to this accreditation only, but we must also talk about nursing training. Remember, we discussed at length the years of training for nurses in the portfolio committee, with the issue of the defaults and the old basic nursing training that we recommended. We felt that as members, I'm sure one of the reasons that we don't, nurses are not rendering quality health care is because they only have nursing sisters. So we are recommending that they must also introduce the old nursing training. Even themselves, I think they even agreed that they feel that the old nursing training must be brought back. So I'm not sure how to phrase it, but if honorable members can help.
You are not audible enough.
Am I now audible?
Yes, I think it's important that honorable members speak from the, remember that these deliberations are being recorded.
Well, I didn't turn it on because I thought there was another meeting. These microphones are not available.
They're out of order.
Well, I agree with Madam Chairperson, with the speaker, Honorable, with the undertaking by the department, and of course we as a committee have reflected on that, and need to reopen nursing colleges to mitigate against shortage of nurses that are trained to meet the needs for more nurses in our particular clinic, so that we can balance the doctor and nurse patient. That's the first. And then the 2 points I want to talk about relates to the last bullet point on page 16.
Sorry. Honorable Mayor. On page 15, we are done. Because as I'm listening to honorable members, they are more now talking on recommendations.
Yes.
So we are done with page 15. Are we all comfortable with that? So that we go into page 16. which now is the page that talks to recommendations.
Look, I'm afraid when you make a ruling, or we can respect the ruling. Look, recommendations and findings talks to one another.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll
okay.
Please, we said, pardon us if we have to go back to the findings. But now I'm on page 16.
All right.
The last bullet point. That the department should ensure that the provincial department do not delay the filling of vacant posts. The other point which the minister brought to our attention and emphasized was that he has observed that in two provinces, the recruitment of non-professional administrative and clerical workers rose up to about 45,000, just over a quarter of a year. And he expressed that as his concern. And in the light of that, the committee then advised that the department should look at the issue of the provinces guided in the manner in which they recruit, especially non-professional clerical personnel. That maybe a cap might be, not in the form of a moratorium, a cap or an advice be given to provinces not to do so. Secondly, we have also advised the department I mean that this other point because I'm not going to, but I will come later to flag on it. I missed on that one. I had the message.
Again, before you, so that you're then able to address this. When we will be talking about the file, the opening of nursing colleges, maybe something that is separate, but it addresses the quality of a nurse, it addresses the curriculum and the attitude and the number of things. When we come to filling of vacant posts, which also touches into HR, they did say that, yes, I agree, but they also said there are more, what they have observed is that now there are more professional nurses than both staff nurses and nursing assistants. I'm raising this so that when we want to factor in that recommendation, we don't lose the sight of touching into those, because that is what is then motivating us and influencing us, that we think that it's a recommendation that is to be put and recite them so that we don't become general. That's what's wrong. So that when they look into this, they really look into it, understanding that we have understood and we are not confused. This is what we think is to be done by this administration. I just wanted just to, so that I see your hand is up, so that when then we allow the secretariat to capture that, so that that is not lost on exactly what is it and the citing of what they have said, which that motivates us to put this recommendation. Honorable Ndaba.
I think on the same issue that you are discussing now, what we have advised the department also, I think what we should advise the department about is that before they make recommendations to the hospitals or whatsoever, they must also look at factors like the, what is it, is it tumor inventory? Capacity, they must consider the capacity of the institution. They must consider the population of that area, because you know sometimes you know they just give from the establishment records of institutions, they just give them posts and they don't consider the population of the people that they are servicing in some of the areas. I'm not sure how we're going to put it, but I'm sure these are some of the factors that we can include when we advise the department. Because when you look at my clinics in some areas, they give them posts in some areas 15, whereas the population of that area, it requires a post in some about 8. So, Lina, you can assist me on how to rephrase it.
Honorable Isha?
Yeah, I think what the Honorable Ndaba is talking about was actually referred to. It's called WISN. It's a system that they spoke about, which says they are busy implementing that system, if I remember very well, so that you are able to say, for this facility, how many nurses do you need, how many doctors do you need in relation to the population. That system, I'm not sure in full, I just forgot in full. It's called WISN. It's only that maybe it's not reflected here in the thing, but they did speak about the system which they are busy implementing. Yeah.
I don't know, I just wanted to... Oh, okay. No, that is fine. In the areas that the members have wanted a rephrasing or whatever addition, I want to propose that if they can put that in writing, so that in the next document they is going to reflect as they have been saying. On page 16, the last bullet point, in looking it on it now, that if it goes through, the NDP is making an emphasis, I think it's chapter 10, on health, the quality of the last bullet, the department should ensure that the professional department of health do not delay the filling of posts to address the human resource shortages. I don't know whether is it and members will correct, whether should we also make an emphasis there on when they are going to fill them, but ensuring that those posts are being filled by people who have got quality, who are skilled for that particular, for that. Remember, I'm raising this, remember that in the last administration there's always been a cry that people that are in the administration, they are not, we have a, I'm making an example, unfortunately for my province, a postmaster who happened to be a CEO. There was that. And I don't know whether in these recommendations, or should we just, it suffices on it to leave it like that. Or as we'll be doing our oversight, we'll ensure that that happens, because it's one of the areas that in health is quite a problem, in particular in terms of the skilling and the skilled workforce that is to be employed by the Department of Health. Having said that, honorable members, I don't know whether there are any other contributions that members would like. Honorable Ma Jaska, then after that, Honorable
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to add on what you have been saying. I don't know what that, as if you didn't talk about it. There is also a problem for still in this issue of staffing, of staffing in the Department of Health. There is a problem especially in those most remote areas. The clinics that are there, sometimes they are deserted, not purposely maybe by the department, but the staff who don't want to work there. I don't know whether we may also have something acting that maybe the department may have a strategy to attract people to have an interest of working in such areas, because we find that sometimes posts are not filled there because of the people not willing to work in the most remote area.
Honorable Mkhalela.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I've identified about five or six findings with no recommendations. One of them is the burden by the neighboring countries and the SADC communities on the health system of not put any solution or any proposal on what needs to be done about that. And my view is that we will say something about that matter in relation to how that matter should be addressed. And then secondly, there is this issue of breastfeeding, which is very low at 8%, and we're not saying anything about what needs to be done going forward. There is the issue of the accreditation of 220 medicine colleges. We don't say anything. And then the issue of the lack of contribution by the mining sector on the issue of the TB. This another matter. And then the issue of the indicators being mainly or dominant or mostly being on an annual basis instead of a quarterly basis. We're just saying it in passing without saying what needs to be done. Yeah, so
here are some of the things here that I've just noted. If I can try to make some proposal on something.
In relation to the target that the APP needs to be revised to, so that the department makes sure that the targets they are on a quarterly basis to enable the committee to play effective oversight. And then the issue of the TB mining sector, a need for an agent intervention by the department of the mining sector, so that the issue of a contribution by this sector is addressed, even if it requires a legislation to do so. And then the department to provide the committee with the strategy on how it intends to provide accreditation to the 2020 public nursing colleges, so that when a patient understands progress from time to time based on that strategy. On the breastfeeding story, I'm not sure, but maybe I'm not sure what is the cost. Maybe the department should engage on the vigorous public education to educate the public about the importance of breastfeeding. Something of that nature. I'm not sure, because it might be informed by ignorance of why breastfeeding is so important. If you can look around that and see how best to craft a resolution. Well, on the issue of the burden the pressure or the burden as a result of the overflow of SADC patients I'm not sure what to do about it because treasurer has been adamant about this matter. As I reflected in a meeting in the teacher, that treasurer has been adamant to say the budget is informed by the data that is being collected by profit, and on the basis of the data. If the data increases, then the budget also increases. So, and therefore, the health institutions record any patient. It should not be necessary, as the teacher was explaining, according to treasury. Not necessary that it should be recorded that no, this is from Zimbabwe, this is from Mozambique, this is from, as long as the patient presents himself or herself in the facility, it gets recorded. And then the number of the patients that gets present themselves on an annual basis is then used as a data. Then that is used to allocate the budget to the department. That's what treasurer was saying in one of the meetings. And nobody from health disputed that in that meeting. They were there. But still, because they're still raising it as an issue, I don't know how then should we come up with a resolution to make sure that matter is addressed, so that it doesn't become a problem, because they're raising it because it means it still remains a problem. I'm sure we can debate and see how best, what the best solution was. The issue that she was proposing about engaging in their core and all about the custom of funds and all those things might not be a practical solution to the problem.
I've seen that too, Honorable. And I think Honorable Makilela has presented a number of recommendations on findings which the recommendations are not talking to. On breastfeeding, just to add, on breastfeeding, the minister did allude to the fact that now that you are saying they are intending taking out or scraping out the issue of formula supply.
Yeah.
Yes, because this thing of they are breastfeeding but they're also giving children milk. And I also want us to look into that. What are the implications of that? The negatives and the positives. Unfortunately, we didn't ask him at the time, but he was raising that is a challenge. On this thing of I will contribute after comments have contributed on the recommendations. I just wanted to remind members about the issue of the 8% of which is low. It's because of the issue of the formula that is being supplied by clinics to mother. Thank you. Musale.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think I want to speak on the issue of the one that Member Masalela made a recommendation, the one of nursing accreditation colleges. That it should also include the revision of nursing curriculum. And then, with regards to the cross borders, I can hear about cross borders. With regards to the one of the cross border issue, Chair, you know, I'm just thinking loud that maybe if we can put a recommendation that will say maybe the department must devise ways on how do they monitor and evaluate or get some statistics on the cross-border patients so that at least we can have an accurate data of people who are not really, who are not South Africans, coming from the subject areas, and then maybe they say they can have a way of claiming, you know, some incentives from SADC. If it's possible, you know, if we share off record. That, you know, sometimes it becomes difficult that our budgets in hospitals, they get exhausted, and most of the people who are there, I'm not saying people who are not from South Africa, they must not benefit, but we must, as a country, we must find a way on how then do we make their countries to pay back. Because here, if you get go to some of these countries, even Europe, Jefferson, you won't get service if you don't have, you are not paying instantly. So why in our country are we allowing people to get free services and not pay for? Whereas when Tina, as South Africans, when we go to their countries, we are paying. What I'm trying to say is, we must try and come up with something than leaving it like this.
I think on the issue of breastfeeding, I think the minister did allude to the fact that they are starting the milk banks in hospitals. So it's a matter, I think, that we must just put the emphasis on. But on this matter that has been discussed, I think he also made a very important point, if I remember very well. He said that there is a fund in SACO, which we are not utilizing as South Africa. Because we are actually the ones who are highly affected by this, because everybody comes to South Africa, you know, including the people who are coming to work in the mines. So the emphasis, I think, must be on us pressurizing the treasury to begin to request our share as a country from SADC. Because that fund is sitting there, is not utilized, it's paid by all member states who are part of SADC. You know, because we are feeling the burden. So the responsibility must be on us pressurizing treasury to say we also want our share as South Africa, because historically it has been proven that everybody's coming to South Africa, you know, looking for greener pastures and all those things, and can't chase them away. We just have to take care of them. So we must just get that money, what is actually due to us.
Just for just a slight advice and warning, the channel code 408, and in that channel, everybody is watching. And even in Parliament, as well, African, his own country, but so I'm trying the off-record thing and other things. We are being watched today, and unfortunately, it's myself and Comrade Matlalele that I have to answer. But what is this thing of off-record? But that's just on it. I just wanted to sensitize members that they don't. Before you, Honourable Matlalele, Doc Marisele, who is late, I want to punish him, not allow him to talk. I'm kidding, you can. All right.
My voice today is not as soft as yesterday. I would say that what has been said today about this particular aspect is correct, but what does the Constitution or the law say? If it's legally binding, then we have to think about amending the law that constrains it. But if it was just done on brotherly goodwill, then we have to tighten the law and make sure that it doesn't happen. Thank you.
Chair, we must correct this myth. The constitution is the supreme law of this country, and it does state that there's nobody who can be chased away from health facilities, regardless of which country does he or she comes from. That's the first thing. We must understand that. So there's no way you are going to do that. And as I was whispering to Mandela, that becomes xenophobic in its nature. You see, we can't allow that to happen in South Africa. But secondly, the issue of SACU must understand the South African Customs Union Fund, how it operates. Well, it was very bad decision of the minister. It is not practical for South Africa to get a share in that amount. The way how it operates. That's why even herself, when she was raising it, she was saying she's not sure whether DECO would be in a position to agree with her, because it's not feasible the way this fund is being used. And it's not all SARAC. It's not all the SARAC. Swaziland, it's Lesotho, it's not sure where it's Botswana, South Africa. There are about four or five countries. Mozambique is not part of SACU. Zimbabwe is not part of SACU. So we must understand how this thing works. The issue that we must deal with is how do we make sure that the department gets sufficient allocation so that it's in a position to cater for services for anybody who presents himself or herself in a health facility through the fiscus that we have. The issue with Europe is a different ballgame altogether. With Europe, more figure of when you are in Europe, because you are part of the medical scheme, you are in permit, and most of the people that from Europe comes here, they don't go free into our facility as well. They also pay. We're talking about other countries, neighboring countries, mainly. So which is mainly the Lesotho, Mozambique, Zimbabwe. That are highly dependent on our health system. And you can't build their countries. They are moving away because their countries, the health facility and all other related matters doesn't have the necessary capacity to deal with it. So we must have that broader understanding. Because if it was easy as we're presenting it, that the matter would have been long resolved. But it's not an easy matter. That's why I was arguing to say, Treasurer, province has been raising this matter that affected. And Treasurer was very clear to say, we allocate money based on the data. The extent to which then provinces or health facilities in provinces compile the correct data is another matter. Because you might find that the data that provinces are providing to national department is then gets consolidated into a data that then gets submitted to Treasurer might not be a correct data. Because maybe the collection of the data in our health facilities are very poor. Now, those are some of the weaknesses that might be there. Then the question is how do we deal with that? But secondly, it's good to have the issue that I was raising, as the DG was also saying, to also have a record so that at least we understand, because we might be speaking something that is not practical. That's not happening. We might be assuming that our health system is burdened by people in the neighboring countries. But we don't have the statistics, we don't know how many people per annum are visiting our facilities vis-a-vis the budget that we were getting from
pressure. So I'm sure those are some of the things that we need to look into and say how best then, on the basis of the data, of the information that's at our disposal, and see the extent to which it has got an effect and implications in our budget. And then based on that, you can then say to treasurer, this is the data, this is the information that is there, and you are convinced that you are not considering that data. And then based on that, then we will proceed to argue our case.
The next member, just want to remind members, Honorable Chapter also put a recommendation, which is, I think is very important. Even if I just want to remind you that it may not, rural hospitals and clinics are neglected, not intentional, but because of the scheme of incentives and allowances. I would appreciate if members can also comment on that. I also wanted to comment on that, because it's something that is, I think, is very important. So the members that are going to speak, I say, Honorable Vaughn, yes, and Honorable Ndaba, and then the last one, also Honorable Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to speak to two points, maybe beginning with the guidance we've just gotten from you with regards to Honorable Justice's point. Maybe on that page 16, then on that last point, we could add a line saying where it says to address human resource shortages, and then also and to develop and implement appropriate incentivization strategies aimed at retaining staff as a very clear recommendation. Maybe one solution, Madam Chair. On my second point, it links to what Honorable Mashalalela just spoke about now, and I'd like to echo his sentiments. I think we need to be very sensitive here. I think in terms of people from neighboring countries are utilizing our services, I think there are issues around human rights and social justice and the underlying constitutional principle of providing health services in an unbiased fashion. And so I think, again, we need to be sensitive. I think perhaps to help us move forward, we should look at engaging with colleagues from international relations and cooperation. Last week, the DG spoke about an interministerial forum, for example, and it may be important for us to engage with our colleagues on that side, just to get guidance in terms of, for example, regional funding that may be available to help us find a solution here. So perhaps just to think a bit broadly in terms of who to engage with around this issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think Member Volmink has covered me.
Okay.
No, thanks, Chair. Well, the issue of the rural staffing, it has been a nightmare for some times, and departments, it's not that they are not aware. They've tried various options. First, it was the rural allowance. There were additional incentives that were given to nurses and doctors who were prepared to work in hospitals and clinics that are in the rural area. But that didn't work, regardless of that. Except when the ruralness is defined in a particular context. I know, for example, one in Elspruit, you've got Roxarella in the city, and then 30 kilometers is another hospital, but it's closer to rural communities, and it has been declared as rural. But the person can stay in Elspruit and work there. You see? So all the doctors and nurses moved away from the city, from Roxarella Hospital, and going back into that hospital because it's rural, but they are staying in town. They are able to move to those 30 kilometers. So it has been a big challenge to some extent. the second issue, it has been the issue of ComServe.
Yes,
the issue of ComServe was introduced to also deal with the issue of making sure that the doctors, when they complete their studies, they go and serve wherever they will be deployed. They don't decide. The departments deploy them. And most of the time, it has been they are continuously deployed in their rural areas. It's part of the strategy. In some provinces, they even went to the extent of providing housing in those rural communities so that the nurses and doctors, they are provided with houses and whatnot. But still, they're not interested to stay there. So we need to be concrete as to what is that additional that the department must do. Well, they've done certain things to attract the professionals. But even in terms of recruitment of nurses, I know there's been an effort to recruit children that are from the rural areas. But when they finish, they move away from their communities. You see? It has been a nightmare matter, but I'm saying if members have got to debate that matter and come up with concrete beyond what, because we must not behave as if the department has not been doing anything. They've been doing things, so if we've got extraordinary view, because if we just say general, they will come and tell us all the stories that I'm telling you, and then you'll say what, but it does not work. What extraordinary things that we think they are not doing right, that we think we need to put and recommend that they must do in order to retain and attract the nurses and doctors in the rural facilities. That's one. But there's also a general retention of doctors and nurses in the country. In the public health, not in the country, in the public health facilities. That's why if you go in one of in some of the hospitals, you'll find there are more sessional doctors than doctors that are employed by you. And when you ask them, say, no. A sessional doctor makes more money than a doctor employed by you. Because Uhamba I surgery makes money and also makes money in the department as a sessional doctor. You see? So a sessional doctor makes more money than a doctor that's employed by the department. And as a result, all of them prefer to move away, open their surgery and become sessional doctors. And that becomes a problem because you can't run a hospitals or public health facilities mainly on the basis of sessional doctors. You go in a hospital, you find there's only two doctors. The rest are sessional doctors. I don't know what must be done about it, but that's the situation that is prevailing on the ground.
I want to I'm not cutting short, members are going to speak. Because what Honorable Mashalela is raising, I think it's something that is we correctly saw. But in that, the department must also give us information province by province that are more affected, which are affected. Mpumalanga, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Free State, Limpopo. We must get, because remember, this administration is to do things differently. And it then means even our oversight, the whip and the, I don't know whether to call the whip to order. it then means even how we do our oversight in this term is going to be completely different. It is an oversight that is to ensure that the executive is to do things in a manner that we ensure that we want to change the social conditions of our people. I want to, in your own spare time, refer you to chapter 10, if I'm correct, of the NDP. Read the whole chapter. You pick up the issues that are being, which are within the program of clinical teaching. So I want to make that proposal, that recommendation to the committee. Secondly, I'm listening to comrades, and it's what all of us as activists, we are doing as members, even the department. When I was then sitting alone, when we talk about health workers, the main focus is on doctors and nurses. Yes, the institution is about a doctor and a nurse, but they are radiographers. They are medical pathologists. They are psychologists. They are this. So we must not fall into, and I always say this even in my progress, but health institutions are not only about these two in terms of the clinical staff. And therefore, I want to, when they come back in the next quarter, to or we should request them to just give us a breakdown in terms of health, the categories in the health sector. I just want us, because if we are to do things differently, if we are to ensure that health is the department ourselves, we are to ensure that we address the whole challenges that we are facing in health. We are to ensure that the whole package and the whole structure, so that we don't move, and when we are there, then we say, oh, we have forgotten A, B, C, and D. It was just that. I see that there are two hands on Honorable Maisel, Honorable I thought your hand goes up. Yes, so it's 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Chair. there is something here which we took for granted, that maybe it means what it means. And at the end, we may find that it actually does not mean what we want it to mean. It is just the health practitioners, you know, capacitation. It's not broken down on how many doctors we want to train per year, how many nurses we want to train per year, how many technicians. We just say capacitation of human resources. That doesn't mean anything, because tomorrow they will say, well, we capacitated 10 directors, and they are health practitioners. They are in the health services. And that doesn't mean anything. Maybe we should get breakdowns of these things, so that when we give them money, we know that they are going to train so many doctors, so many nurses, so many practitioners, and we are sure that we can quantify that. If you can't quantify it, it doesn't exist. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I agree with the Honorable Masale. Oh, over the Honorable Fish. there are things, a lot of good things that the department has done. But I think there's one thing that lacks in our provinces, and the department can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they don't get all the necessary input on what is needed in all the different provinces. I'm going to make an example to you. We have a very, very rural area in the area of Kwakwa. And about 2 years ago, when we went to Overside there, there's a beautiful clinic that is built there. But for the outer areas, the very, very rural areas, they delivered mobile clinics. And as I'm talking to you now, the clinics are still standing there. The vehicles are not vehicles that can access those areas. Vehicles that are needed for those areas are 4x4s. So what they gave are these ones they use for taxis, in the cannot access those areas. So I would like to propose that when the department sit and plan on what to give for provinces, that they should try and get inputs from provinces on what is really needed. Because those mobile clinics standing there are fully furnished with everything, but they cannot access the area.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'd just like to pick up on the point that Honourable Mashalena made with regards to the retention. If I may, Madam Chair, I'd like to speak from a bit of a personal perspective, having done my year as a community service doctor in a rural hospital, and just reflecting on some of my experiences there, that may be of value to the committee. I mean, I think that, you know, there's three things that perhaps haven't been looked at that may be of value. The first is that, and I think it's quite obvious, is just the basic working conditions in rural hospitals. I'm not just talking about workload and safety, but also failures in the health systems. We spoke about the building blocks last week. If you look at service delivery, for example, and supply of medicines, you know, to work in a rural hospital and to run out of essential medicines is devastating for both the health practitioner and more especially the patient. So there's a whole constellation of working conditions that may help to change things. The second area would be around supervision and even mentoring. It's very daunting for a young doctor, and I would imagine any health professional, to go into a rural hospital where you'll be called upon to do a wide range of duties that you may not yet feel equipped to perform. And so an assurance around supervision, that you're going into a formalized supervisory structure and even a mentorship program may be of value there. And then the third one is around training and education. You know, the route to specialization is a very long route. And even again, for other health professionals, there's a lot of postgraduate training. So if we could have a scenario whereby a substantial portion of specialist training, for example, registrar training, could be done in rural sites, that may allow then an incentivization for those doctors to stay in those rural areas. Currently, I don't believe that that's being done nearly enough. And so I think those two points, basic working conditions, mentoring and supervision and further training in rural areas, I think would be very important.
If I may ask, where did you, which area were you?
I was in Ikobo in Christ the King Hospital in KwaZulu-Natal.
I think that it's quite an experience, because we have never come across a person that has said, I have been part of that, so that we really see, I'll make an example now, we're going to be able to measure what is happening in KZN, in Eastern Cape, identify just one, what is happening in Bomaland, right? So that we are then able to say, this is what we think more and above of what the department has done, but these are the shortcomings, and this is what we think as Comrade Mashalela. I'm sure Honorable Mashalela has said that there are things that have been done, but what is it that we think has been done differently this time around, so that it's able to achieve I do think that
would it not be proper for us to advise the department in the context of what the Honorable Doctor said here next to me, that maybe some research must be done with regard to all the doctors who at a particular point in time were, you know, did their community services in the rural areas, for them to be able to highlight some of the issues which were good and which were bad, so that when you develop a strategy, we are informed, you know, by the medical conditions from the doctors themselves, so that this is then integrated into the new doctors who are still at the universities, you know, nurses and so on and so forth, so that when they are done, they know
This is what they expect in the rural areas, and this is how they can do that. Thank you.
I think they are here. The researcher is here. Exactly. That's what we will learn. I hope they have noted that. The department, yes, but I think also the committee researcher can, it's one of the things that is to assist the committee on some of the, I just find we'll also do that. But it must not only be doctors that want to make an addition, it must also be the entire, the nurses, the radiographers, the whatever. And in that, it must be detailed. As you have said, because there is this thing, I would have thought that that's what commitment, I'm sure Honorable Mashaya would also say that that's what makes them to think that it's better to open a surgery. Mm-hmm. And how don't we ensure that within the context of primary health care, again, go to the NDP, it is also highlighting the concept of a community doctor, so I think let's thank Honorable Mashalela for, in fact, reminding us to go back to the politics of health in South Africa and how best then to ensure that in this time we try, a little bit difficult, but we have to try to take a serious U-turn on how we do things for the benefit of
Thank you, Chair. If you have something in something scarce, the more scarcity, the more premium you pay for it. And if you have it in food quantities, then you pay the normal price. Because of the shortage of doctors, and I think we have not been training registrars for the past 5 years. So they are scarce, and you can talk about teaching people in the clinics or in the rural areas, who's going to teach them? And that's why we say if we can't quantify what we are doing, it doesn't exist. And in 5 years' time, we are going to have a collapse because there are no registrars, and so nobody's been taught anything. So we have to make sure that that particular aspect is taken care of. No. We can talk about, I've been reading this document, there is no way where we talk about those things. We just talk about some wishy-washy things on page 18, I think, program 5. And the trick is that if they don't commit and tell us in writing, we can't quantify it. And at the end of the day, they will tell us what they did, which is good, and they have done something, but it's not what we want or what will solve our problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Is there any matter that honorable members want to raise in terms of what is in the recommendation so that we enrich this comment send and comment about the last one? Just for record purposes, on a serious note, we are to ensure that we speak through a mic, because again, portfolio committee proceedings are being recorded, so that when you dispute what you have said, we're able to go back and switch on and say, listen to yourself. So I'm just saying, I'm not trying to disarm you. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. But I'm just reminding honourable members. Thank you.
That is telling the off record. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. But I'm saying that we need to throw the spanner in the work. Check with the colleagues, in particular, can we make the government to commit on when the department would subscribe the process for the creation of the pharmaceutical self-regulatory commission?
Honorable
Okay, sir. Sir, I've got two things that I want to read. I see here on the findings we've got a bullet number two, but I'm not sure whether when Honorable Fish was adding my recommendation, he added on the findings. I'm not sure if we do have a recommendation on the CHC, the community health workers. Yeah, that's why I'm raising it, because I'm not sure if they have raised it.
Put a recommendation.
Listen, AS2, it's with regards to HPV. I think the department have launched a good program on this HPV. But launching it and having it like that, once of launching it, it's not enough. I was thinking that it should be better if the department should educate our communities about this and encourage our schools, to promote it at the primary level, so that at least it can have an impact.
Before you, Honorable, thank you, Madam Chair, and apologies for being late. I just did not get the SMS that would be having before this morning. My questions around provincialization of the clinics. Currently, all the metros, the clinics are serviced by the local government. And they sign a service level agreement with the provincial government. And apparently, moving the clinics to province hasn't happened yet, which leaves the local government abandoning their own core function of environmental health, which was known as the health inspector. Because now the local government have to focus very much on making sure that the clinics have enough staff, have enough all the all the necessities of running the clinics. And I haven't had the budget that really is allocated for environmental health, because that is the core function of the local government. And hence we have these huge problems, the resting station, the air quality, the monitoring of, all that, which is the core function of the local government. When is provincialization going to happen? In response to the DG, felt that, it's a hot potato, it's difficult to discuss and whatever. There should be measures in place that are to address the local government to focus much more on environmental health, and the budget which comes from Texas should be really for addressing the environmental health. Which kind of give you a simple example. In the north of the Western Cape, we have lesser environmental practitioners of needs that are supposed to be on the ground, monitoring the informal settlements, even the CBD, where there's the biggest rodents. Because there's very few AEHPs. And somehow we need to make sure that there's a budget that focuses specifically to EHP, you know, to the environmental health, so that we can empower the local government to be able to employ more EHPs, and also the equipment needed for them to be able to do their work effectively. Thank you, Mitch.
I'm just wondering, control change is raising the matter. That is not in our discussion. Maybe we need to have this discussion at some point when you ask the department to come in. It's a very, as the PC was saying, it's a very hot potato matter. I know it. It's a very difficult matter. It's not an easy thing to deal with it. While I was in MEC then, we tried, we failed. Local government, it's another sphere. They want to perform the function. Special metros, you can't touch that function. They are so adamant about, very arrogant about it, and they want to run those health services. And some of the services that are run by them, they are better than those that are run by properties. Yes, that's the truth. Some of them, most of those are run by municipalities. They are some of them are the best. And therefore, if you want to take over, you must therefore be ready to make sure that you maintain that system. The other thing you have to do is salaries. You see, you know, there's been a discussion about creation of a single public service. But the challenge has been that your salary at a local government level is far higher than the salary at the provincial and national government. No, it's still like that. It's very high. A director of a municipality doesn't earn the same salary as a director in a provincial government. No. You see, they earn very high salary. That's why it's difficult, it's a challenge how then to create a single public service in the country because of those challenges. That's why. Though there's a law passed in the last term, but the process of realizing that law is going to take a long time. No, the creation of a single public service. There was a law that was passed last year, early this year, in the last term. But the process is going to take years, not going to be an easy process. So the same thing applies. Provincialization has been in existence for more than 10 years now. Discussions has been even joint MINEC of SALGA, with all MECs and the ministers. There's no consensus on the matter. Because you can't just take it. There's no consensus. Because local government is here on its own. So I'm saying this is maybe at some point we might require the, so that we don't deviate from the discussion. Maybe at some point we might require a discussion, ask the department as one matter to come and have a discussion on the process of provincialization. Some provinces where there are no metros, there's second. It's no more an issue. Yeah. But in other provinces, especially where there are metros, it's very simple. Honorable Sam, I thought the minister dealt with the issue. Because you raised the matter with the minister, and the minister dealt with it. I don't know why he wants us to repeat it. Outside that matter, unless there's something that you're not satisfied with in the response that the minister gave, because he did deal elaborately, extensive on the matter. And it is part of the resolution of the ruling party in the next coming 5 years, there must be a process leading towards the creation of a pharmaceutical company that is publicly owned. But that's a process. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen next year. There are a lot of things that need to be taken into consideration, as the minister explained in that regard. So we can't have an answer as to when is that going to happen. But it is part of a package that is being
investigated and looked into. Maybe through you, we can just request Honorable Sam to inform the committee's constituents to say there's a process through you, Chair. That thing is on
course.
Thank you.
And then, Chair, I wanted to propose that on the issue of the community health workers, maybe we say the department should provide a clear role of community health workers by ensuring that the services they render are properly integrated. That's what I can propose as a recommendation. And then the issue of pharmaceutical as well, in the context of the discussion earlier on, that the department accelerate the process of direct delivery of pharmaceuticals, dry dispensary and related supplies to facilities by suppliers to ensure an improved turnaround times and prompt payment to suppliers.
Thank you, Honourable for reminding us. I didn't want to be a bit harsh. Yes, you are correct. The Honourable Member raised something that was not part of the content of the discussion. But it's something that maybe we will have to look into it because there is no uniformity in my province that was done. The two metros on how it was done was quite a... So I do think, again, maybe at some other time when we're looking into this, we'll have to get the what transfers in province A, B, and C, so that we're able to then participate. It created a lot of discomfort. Labor was up in arms on the matter, and there were perceptions that were created, and unfortunately, that has not been addressed well. We are going to break for, I'm not going to allow him now, we're going to break for tea, just for 15 good minutes, then we come back and continue.